Ezekiel chapter 2. By the way, you have blessed me. Have you heard of a fish without water? The young man that got it today, I appreciate that so much. I don't know who got it for tonight, but whoever did, God bless you. Okay? Appreciate that. Appreciate your kindness and your church here for all you've done for us, for the nice motel room. I'm going to get to enjoy it tonight, a little bit tomorrow morning. And appreciate that so much. And trust that maybe God will bless you in a special way for your kindness you've shared with me and my wife and I. Ezekiel chapter 2. Before I read it, just let me give you something here by way of introduction. Ezekiel lived 592 to 570 B.C. That's 22 years, isn't it? Not a very long life, was it? He prophesied against Judah and Jerusalem for 22 years in Babylon. And here in chapter 2, you're going to see his call given to go to Israel's people in Babylon, a rebellious, impotent, and stiff-necked people. People with rough words, rough looks. You're going to see that Ezekiel is being told by God, I'm going to read it here in just a second, we'll read it together, to go and speak to them whether they'll listen or not. No matter what, just tell them what God said. And in chapter 2 here, the Bible says, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. By the way, that word impudent in verse 4 means they're hard-headed. Now, nobody in your church is hard-headed, right? Okay, just the pastor. Okay? All preachers are hard-headed, okay? Verse 5, And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Heavenly Father, guide me these next few moments, I pray. May you be honored and glorified through it. May we be challenged because of the message that thy Holy Spirit has for each of us tonight. In Jesus' name, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you see the call of Ezekiel? It's right here in verse 2. This is his call. And he, God, said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. That's his call. God said to Ezekiel, I send thee. That's his call, right? Let me ask a question. Did Ezekiel have a burden? No. Did Ezekiel have a burden? No. Okay, it's three of you. Did Ezekiel have a burden? No burden yet, right? He got the call of God. Didn't have the burden. Okay? So follow me carefully, all right? Ezekiel was prophesying to these exiles in Babylon, while Jeremiah was prophesying to the Jews in Jerusalem, and it constantly reminded the people of God's judgment of sin and the blessings that await them in the future if they would keep His covenants. And Ezekiel was told, over here in chapter 3, he said, "I've made you a watchman to the house of Israel." Okay? Verse 17. "I've made you a watchman to the house of Israel." And Ezekiel was supposed to do this. He's supposed to hear. He's supposed to eat. He's supposed to go. He's supposed to speak. And he's supposed to tell. I'm going to try to share those with you tonight without keeping you here all night, okay? I don't plan this being a long message, but I trust it'll be a help to each and every one of you. There's some things that, through this, I hope we can learn to apply in our own hearts, okay? We ought to ourselves worship God in spirit and in truth. We ought to have a gentle spirit. We ought to go and be a witness for Christ to people who do not understand nor see their need of Christ. People of a hard speech and hard looks. You want hard looks? Go into Camden, New Jersey. You want hard looks? Go in the back streets of Paulsboro, New Jersey. Okay? There's a street in Paulsboro, New Jersey. It's in the midst of, it's a residential street. But it's such an old street that there's two bars on the corner, two blocks down that street, in a residential area. You can't get a permit to do that today, but it's been there for a long time. And for years, we've knocked on the doors down on Adams Street in Paulsboro with hard looks, impudent faces, hard words, but going in the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit of God. God sent Ezekiel to a people of hard looks, hard speech, so forth. God sent Jim Fish to a people of hard looks and hard speech also in Paulsboro, New Jersey. And I'm not a big guy and I'm not a tough guy. Unless you want to take a bite out of me, I'm a tough fish, okay? Okay, I'm not tender. Okay, like we had in a restaurant here recently. But God sends us there. How can we go to a people of hard looks, hard speech? Adam Street in Paulsboro for years was known as Cocaine Street. They had so many drug busts on Adam Street. And I go down there and I had a fellow in our church. I hadn't planned on saying this, but I guess I will. I had a fellow in our church, big guy, belonged to a gym. Nice looking married man, but big. A lot bigger than me. Went down to Adam Street, and he saw those guys, and I walk up to him. Holy Spirit just has me, and I'm not trying to be a tough guy. I'm going in the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk up and I find the meanest looking, biggest, ugliest guy I can find. I walk right up to him. God gives me the strength to do that. I put out my hand. I give him the hardest handshake I can give him. And the reason I do that is this, because I tell him, "My name is Jim Fish. I'm pastor of the Kingsway Baptist Church." And he's trying to get away. He's trying to let go. I won't let go. And so I just want to talk to you about Jesus. And there's all these other guys. I got the biggest guy there, and there's all these other guys there. And you know what? I have no problem with all the other guys, because I don't have any problem with that guy. And I get their ear, and we've seen a lot of guys saved on Adam Street, okay? But all I'm saying, here's Ezekiel. He's got the call of God to go, and he's going to a people that are impudent, hard-hearted, dirty looks, hard speech, and he's supposed to tell them what God has for him to say. Now, I want you to note that from Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, there's 140 years in length there. We can easily see the long-suffering of God during 140 years of having His men go and preach, prophesy to people that don't want to listen. The long-suffering of God for 140 years. And Psalm 86, 15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." 1 Peter 3:20, "The long-suffering of God waiteth in the days of Noah." Okay? 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:15, "Account that the long-suffering of God is salvation." So I am in my ministry. Now, I'm not pastoring anymore, but I'm still in the ministry. I am to be, and your pastor's to be also, long-suffering. Okay? Long-suffering. Why? Because people won't want to listen. But you know, it's a strange thing. I've lived long enough to see that the ones who did not want to listen, the time will come when they need a preacher. You mark it down. They're not on an easy road. You think the Christian road's rough? You try the unsaved road without Jesus Christ. Okay. So this is Ezekiel's call, called of God. I asked you a question when I showed you the call of God on Ezekiel's life. Did he have a burden? He didn't have a burden. He wasn't burdened. Okay. You say, well, when does the burden come? I want to share that with you tonight. Okay. Go to chapter 3. Before I go to chapter, go back to chapter 2, please. I need to go back to verse 8. Okay? "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." Now, if you want to, my Bible's all marked up. Mark up yours. If you want to remember this, you'll be able to mark these verses in your Bible and you remember what I preached. If you listen tonight. If you circle the word "hear" and circle the word "eat" in verse 8 of chapter 2. And when you circle the word "here" and circle the word "eat," draw a line from "here" to "eat." Okay? "Son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." Hear and eat. Hear what I'm telling you. Eat what I give you. Now, folks, I'm going to take time to do this right here. I have lived long enough in the ministry as a Christian. I've heard almost every excuse there is. Matter of fact, I've heard so many excuses, I tell people, just tell me you have a tennis ball in your freezer. And they say, what? I said, just tell me you have a tennis ball in your freezer. They say, what for? I said, well, one excuse is as good as another. Okay? People have excuses. Why? They know the truth, and they don't do it. Now listen to these words that we know. Matthew 22:9. "Go ye, therefore, into the highways and hedges, and as many as ye shall find, bring to the marriage." Matthew 25:6. "And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Matthew 28:19. "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the world." Amen. Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." All the world. You know, it's bad enough right here, isn't it? But he tells us, not just here, everywhere. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. John 15:16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." Luke 24:45-47. "Then opened he," Jesus, "their understanding, that they ought might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." John 20:21. "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." But Lord, I don't have a burden to go. How many folks have kids? How many of you parents tell your children to take the garbage out? The garbage man comes on Thursday or Tuesday or whatever, the day that... You tell your kids to take the garbage out? Have they ever missed? Have they ever said... Well, they always say, I forgot. Okay. But it means the same thing. I don't want to. Okay. They've never said it because they never think this way, but they never told you, well, Mom, I don't have a burden to take the trash out. Huh? Were you ever told to take the trash out, son? Huh? Did you ever tell your dad, I don't have a burden to take the trash out? Huh? You took it off because Dad said, take it out, right? Yeah, my kids did too. Okay. So what I'm trying to share with you tonight is, hey, wait a minute. When does the burden come? Jesus, I've read these verses. Go ye, go ye, go ye, go ye, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, should be preached in his name among all nations. Even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's another one, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Huh? When? Oh, when I get a burden. Now, I've had, honestly, and God's blessed me with a good church. I don't know how I've been there, just one, it's the only church I ever had, and the start of that, and I never left it. And we had problems. Oh, man, we had problems. We've had church splits without splitting. We've had splits without a church split. Whatever. We've had them leave without having a problem, you know, just left with different reasons. But, nonetheless, we just stayed. God blessed through the problems. Okay? But folks, when does the burden come in your life? You expect... Now listen, I haven't talked to your pastor about this. Everyone in this room might go soul winning every week. I don't know. I imagine if I went through all the ladies' purses here, they're just busting with gospel tracts. I imagine I've looked at all the guys' pockets where cigarettes used to be. I imagine there's a New Testament gospel tracts up there. Every time you go to work, you give them people tracts. Okay. My question is, what's it going to take to get the church to promote Christ when the world is promoting Satan's stuff? I mean, the world out there will fight tooth and nail. I mean, they'll cut people to pieces for their sin, and Christians cower. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't cower? Aren't you glad Daniel didn't cower in the lion's den? Aren't you glad David didn't cower with Goliath? You know, like I've already given you those messages. They realized they were called of God to do the work God gave them to do. And you folks have been given a call from God. Ezekiel was called. When God said, I send thee, that was the call. It wasn't. Ezekiel didn't say, well, let me pray about this first. And when the Lord said, Ezekiel, it's not going to be an easy crowd you're going to be with. They're going to put you through the thorns and briars. They're going to give you dirty looks and say mean words to you. It wasn't going to be an easy road. It wasn't with Jeremiah. It wasn't with Ezekiel. But God's call was, I've called you. I'm sending you to the impudent and hard-hearted Israelites. Didn't he? I send you, period. Okay? I want you to hear and eat. Then he says in chapter 3, verse 1, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll, and he said to me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with that roll that I give thee. Now, folks, it was filled with the last verse in chapter 2, written within without lamentations, mourning, and woe. It looked like spinach, okay? I looked in his hand. Verse 9 of chapter 2, I looked in his hand, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Looked like spinach. What'd God say? Eat it. Eat it? Yeah. What'd he do? He obeyed. He ate it. The Bible says, he opened his mouth, verse 2 of chapter 3, verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Man, he had God's sticky bun. That's what it says, doesn't it? Oh, full of lamentation, mourning, woe. Yeah, that's a judgment against sin. But God says, hey, Ezekiel, put it in your mouth. Eat this roll I'm going to give you. And when the child of God does what God says to do, it changes from looks to sweetness. Sweetness is in his mouth, but conviction to those he speaks to. Honey bun. Verse 4 of chapter 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. So circle the words in chapter 3, verse 1, eat and go. And in chapter 3, verse 4, go and speak. So far you've got hear and speak in chapter 2, verse 8. You've got speak and go in chapter 3, verse 1. You've got go and speak in chapter 3, verse 4. Go and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech, or of hard language, to the house of Israel. He had it easier than I did. You say, what? I came from Michigan to New Jersey where they say wooter. Huh? Strange speech. Okay. But Ezekiel wasn't sent to people of a strange speech or hard language. It's the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech or of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto you. If I'd have sent you to people that understood, they'd have hearkened. People of a hard language, they'd have hearkened. Can you picture when a missionary goes to the field? And a missionary goes to the field, whether it be in Africa or Australia or someplace, and they speak the language of the people, that catches the people's ear. Right? And God says, hey, I'm sending you to people of a hard language. But they understand your language, but if it was a hard language, they didn't listen to you. God says, hey, they're not listening to you. You give them my words. Okay? And he says, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have understood. Oh, hearken, if I'd have sent you to a strange land and you spoke to them, they'd have listened to you. But I'm sending you to Israel, children of Israel. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to rebel against you. That's what this is all about. Verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. You want to know why Jim Fish is still in New Jersey? Why I lasted there 40 years? It wasn't because of me. God gave me a hard head. Huh? God gave me a hard head. God gave me a halfway decent handshake. Okay? People might think I'm nuts, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt anyway. But God says, I have made thy face strong against their faces. You determine in your heart to do what God says to do. Go where God says to go. Be what God says to be. And I'll tell you what, he'll give you the ability to get the job done no matter what it looks like. No matter what the threats are. Verse 9, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Listen to me. Listen to me, God's saying to Ezekiel. Now listen to verse 11. And go get thee to them of the captivity of the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell. So you got hear and eat, eat and go. Go and speak, and now you have in verse 11, speak and tell. Circle speak, circle tell, draw a line to them. Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was upon me. What's that mean there? I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. You know what it means? He got mad because God's still telling them to go, and the people are rebellious, just like God said they would be. When they wouldn't listen, just like God said he wouldn't listen. But he's still sending them. And he gets mad because he loves God. You follow what I'm saying to you? He didn't think those people deserved to be forgiven. It's almost like the city of Nineveh, right? Okay. But he said, I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was upon me. When does the burden come? Hold on. Hear and eat. Eat and go. Go and speak. Speak and tell. Get down to verse 11. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib and dwelt by the river of Kibar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Hear and give. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also hast thou delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said to me, Arise, go. Verse 23, Then I arose and went. I'm saying from verse 15 down through verse 24, he got his burden. You see it? He got his burden. I gave you the verses of Scripture out of the New Testament. Go into all the world and preach gospel to every creature. All those verses there on gospel. Great commission to go. When we do what God says to do, go where God says to go, say what God says to say, and not worry about ourselves, realize this, Christian, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Can He take care of you? Talk to me. He can take care of you. Then what are you afraid of? What do you fear? Okay. Ezekiel got his burden when he went to the people. So God's order, hear and eat, open thy mouth wide, eat what I give you, looks like spinach, but listen and believe, swallow it. Eat and go, may have looked like spinach, but tasted like honey. Now take what you believe and go and speak to the lost. I've made your looks as strong as theirs. I've made your head as hard as theirs. Go and speak. Speak and tell them. And after being told in verse 11 to tell them what they need to hear, even though Ezekiel was hot in verse 14, God's hand was upon him and he obeyed and sat where they sat. When's the last time you sat where they sat, folks? What do you think 2x2 is talking about? Daily House to house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Think they ever sat where they sat? Yeah. Think God wants us to do that? Yes, He does. What's God's order again? Hear, eat, go, speak, tell. Get your burden. You got it? Hear, eat, go, speak, tell, and get your burden. That's the order. When does the burden come? When you obey God. You're not going to sit in church and never listen to the preaching very much, or you're never going to go to your home, and if you never go on soul winning visitation, or you never pray for the lost, or you never pray that God would use you, you're not going to win souls to Christ. It's not you that wins them, it's the Holy Spirit that wins them through you. Okay? I'm just an old sinner saved by God's grace. There was a time in my life I didn't give a flip about anybody. But there's something about Jesus. He truly is love. Greater love hath no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friend. Most people that call themselves Christians, they won't lay down their life for anybody, let alone 15 minutes, 20 minutes to half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a week to tell them about Jesus. But the world's out there, they're spending all their money and all their time trying to promote godlessness. Ask you a question tonight. Hear, eat, go, speak, and tell. But if you were told, curse God or die, what would you do? When I was in Bible college, I started when I was 30, graduated when I was 34, 1974. Moved out here in 75, started our church. But when I was in Bible college, in my senior year, I was president of the John R. Rice Society, and we had the privilege, Dr. Malone had John Rice come to Midwestern Baptist College, and for a week I took him to breakfast. I love old John Rice. Okay. Did he talk to you? Very little. Why? He was eating. I took him to all the meals. He was a great man. A mighty pen. Wrote all kinds of commentaries on the New Testament. He was the one that began the Sword of the Lord newspaper. He was the editor of that for years and years. When he died, went to heaven, was taken over. Other people have it. But John R. Rice, heard an illustration one time by Dr. Hiles about John Rice. He said, you know, we travel everywhere, he said, and this, he was in the conference, Sword of the Lord conference, and Jack Hiles said, you know, we travel everywhere, and he's on prayer and tithing and soul winning and all that. Boy, that's what he preaches. And I'm a fireball soul winner and all this kind of stuff. And he said, we get in the motel room. And Jack House said, I had a burden. I had to have so much money to raise to do this or do that. And I have so many birds about a building. One time he said our church was knocking down a building for more parking lot out there in Hammond. And he says they knocked down the wrong building. He says, I bought a building, didn't even know it. They knocked down the building next to it. Remember that? And he says, I was in the motel room with Dr. Rice, and he said, we got down to pray, and I said, Dr. Rice, let's pray about this burden right here. I got this burden. And so they got on their knees to pray, and Jack Hiles prayed for this burden, that burden, that. John Rice got down and prayed for his burden. It was all had to do with the Sword of the Lord. Didn't mention Jack Hiles, didn't mention the building. It was knocked down. You say, Jack, what did John Rice do? He's praying for his burden. His burden was, he got to get that sword of the Lord out, get the gospel out to people, get these sermons published and all that. You know what I'm talking about? My thought was, Jack Howes was saying, when we prayed, I prayed for my burdens and he prayed for his burdens. Okay? Whose burden are you praying for? The average Christian doesn't want any burdens. The average Christian doesn't want burden. They want, living our life knowing but we're setting up for retirement, setting all these kind of things. We want to have all our bills paid, we want a house taken care of, we want the kids all grown, all healthy and everything taken care of. We don't want any burdens. But you know what? I found out something. A person that never has a burden, they hardly ever pray. Huh? And they might say to you, oh, just remember me in prayer. I got this need right here. And if we don't have any burdens, if a person doesn't have a burden, they don't want a burden. See what I'm saying to you? If a person doesn't have a burden, they don't want a burden. I wrote down this. It's a song he used to sing 40 plus years ago at Dixie Baptist, where I'm from. And it says, my burdens keep me humble and teach me to pray. If I murmur or grumble, forgive the words I say. Give me strength to carry my load day by day. But don't take my burdens or my cross away. For I would grow careless and idle, I fear. My eyes would be dry and I would never shed a tear. Lest I forget that I need you each day. Don't take my burdens or my cross away. With a cross on my shoulder, my feet cannot stray. For the cross leads me onward to my home so far away. And I will not question the price I must pay. Just don't take my burden or my cross away. The average Christian is trying to get rid of the burden. God says, we need a burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We want the Lord to take the burden away. I think beginning with me, through all of us here tonight, our prayer ought to be, Lord, give me that burden. Give me that burden. Isn't it strange? The lighter things get, the lighter the burden. We don't want somebody else's burden. We want to get rid of ours. But the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You have a great church here. You folks, wonderful people. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm honored to be here. I really, really am. But you have a man sitting at my left with his wife. I have not talked about it. I don't know any problems that you have. I've not discussed anything. But I'm telling you what. He needs his hands held up. Just like Moses had to have his hands held up by Aaron and Hur. You need to hold up your pastor's hands. Just like David this morning, when Ishbi-Benob thought he had killed David, David's men, whom he had trained, came and helped him. Remember that? And your pastor, I've pastored for 40 years. I know what it is to be a pastor and have great people, have a great church. And you're trying to lead them, you turn around, there's nobody there. I've been there. Ask God to give you a burden. Okay? So many have adopted the attitude of the rich young ruler. They go away with great sorrow because they have great riches. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the great riches. Trust in the job. Trust in the retirement set aside. No. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, because your understanding wants it all written down black and white. I can afford this and I can afford that. I can afford this and I can afford that. Can I tell you something? Nobody can afford to put God second. Okay? He has a way to get his tithe. He has a way to get your attention. Everybody in the hospital, but not everybody in the hospital is there because of sin. But I'll tell you one thing, there's an awful lot of Christians looking up right now from a hospital bed. You think God's talking to them? He wants our attention. He wants us to love Him. We have a golden lab. Somebody gave me a golden lab for Christmas 2 years ago. She was born on my birthday, October 1st. When she was a puppy, just a bundle of joy. Teeth like needles. Puppy teeth like needles. Okay? I was bleeding everywhere playing with that dog. Now, she's 2 years old. What's she weigh, Mom? At least 85 pounds. Cost me $50 a month just for the dog food. Okay? But she loves me. You know what upsets me most? And I love her. She's a good dog. I'm hoping she calms down a little bit. I might have to put a saddle on her. But she's a nice dog. She loves me. I mean, I get home, she goes nuts. Our grandkids come over, she goes nuts. I can't hold her back. My wife can't. Okay. But when she disobeys, I come close to killing that stinking dog. She minds when nobody's there. She'll mind me. Sit when I tell her to sit. She'll always bring the ball back. She loves to play. She minds until somebody's looking. Grandkids, great-grandkids, they come over. They want to, and I'm dead. Mercedes! Running to meet the people, trying to keep her out of the street. Running to meet the people. When somebody's there, I'm talking. She's not paying attention. You know what? Christians do that too, the Lord. Oh, when we're alone, when we want some company, oh, we love being with the Lord, don't we? But when our schedule gets a little busy, you know, like birthdays and picnics and vacations and holidays, you know, I'm saying this, I might be wrong, but I think I'm going to be. Your preacher works every holiday. Because now they make them all fall on Sunday almost, except for Thanksgiving. It's Thursday, third Thursday of November, right? So Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday, but all the other holidays, they combine the President's Days, and they're always on the weekend, right? Where folks go to the shore, they're going on a picnic, and that's, boy, when the church has the less people, it's during a holiday. Because you folks have off during the holiday. And if you have to work, you get double time. Huh? Am I right? Yeah. He has to work every holiday. He didn't get double time. And he prays and prepares his messages and asks God to bless and let people be saved, let Christians be helped and edified and build up. And half the people don't even come because it's a holiday. And you don't even give it a thought about your pastor. You say, how do you know that? Because I pastored 40 years. And people can love you. People can love you, preacher. But it's a different kind of love. You see, I love my wife 56 years come Wednesday. Okay. I'm only 37, so I don't know how she did. But anyway, 56 years, okay. But you know what? I'm using this as an illustration. All right? We were married young. I was 19 years old and she was 17, senior in high school. I was just getting shipped to Okinawa, so our parents, we had dated for 2 years. I loved her with all my heart, and our parents let us marry. Had a church wedding. Now I was gone for 556 days. Never saw her. Talked to her once on the phone because I couldn't afford it. I made $85 a month in 1959 in the Air Force. And it cost, I don't know what it cost to call home. $30 for 3 minutes. And she was drawing an allotment check for me, so I got like $12 a month. So I couldn't talk to her for a year and a half. But in spite of our separation, we wrote letters. And she sent pictures. And every time she sent a picture, it drove me crazy. You know, but I wanted to see my wife, love my wife. I've always loved her. Okay. And I still, after 56 years come Wednesday, we're still on our honeymoon. We take 41 grandchildren with us. But we're on our honeymoon. I still love her. I tell her I love her how many times a day? I tell her all the time. She's never been the old lady. I love her. I love being with her. And she was as sick as a dog yesterday. I said, I was just praying, Lord, help her to be able to come. I don't want to be here without her. When I worked at GM Computers, every guy there didn't want to go home. Every guy there wanted to go down to the bar down at Baldwin Avenue and Walton Boulevard. I think it's Baldwin, whatever it is. And because our boss, the Pioneer Motor Division, owned the bar. And every time they had a chance, they all went down to the bar. I wanted to go home. Why? My honey was there. My sweetheart was there. She's never been the old lady. Amen. The old hag. Huh? And she's been a pain in the neck a couple of times. But we have a relationship. I love my wife, okay? Well, listen, folks. That's the kind of relationship we ought to have with our Lord. I've heard truckers say, I had one trucker, I had a trucker's ministry for a few years at the 76 truck stop there in Paulsboro, and I'd bring guys to church, and I had a lot of truckers, I met a lot of truckers, some had their wives with them. They love traveling with their wives. But you give them enough time to talk, and their response was this: I love having my wife with me, but man, sometimes I can't stand her. You just need to be away from you. You just need to be separated. Just let me work my job. I'll go home. You know, unsaved men didn't love their wives like Christ loved the church. See? And yet you fellas here, outside of Jesus Christ, your best friend ought to be your wife. You ladies, your best friend ought to be your husband. I mean best friends. And don't give me this silent treatment. Don't give me this not talking for a couple of days. Man, you don't know what you're missing. You know what I mean? You don't know what you're missing. If you want to live miserable, go right ahead, man. I'm not going to do that. I'll eat crow, I'll swallow pigs, I'll do anything. Get my wife's attention. You know what I mean when I say swallow crow, eat crow? That's when you have to swallow your own words, get back in fellowship with your wife. Now, whether she wants to eat pig or eat crow or not, that's I don't know. But I'd rather, that's why we've been married 56 years. Can you imagine what people thought when we were 19 and 17 years old? She was still in high school. Now, I'm not saying you folks do that. Okay. But people thought, it'll never work. You know what made the difference? Jesus. Jesus made the difference. And he's given me a burden to be the best husband I can be to my wife. We still have our times. But some folks don't want to go home to their loved one. I can't wait to get home to mine. Because Jesus gave me that love for my wife. He'll give you that love for your spouse also. But not only that, if Jesus will give you a love like that for the one you're married to, he surely wants to give you a love for the lost people that he died to save. Love your preacher. But show him you love him by getting involved with what he did. See? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. See? Lean on his breast. That means get close to Jesus. Because he loves you that much. Hear God's call. Eat God's word. Go God's direction. Speak God's word without fear. Tell God's meaning like Ezra did. Get your burden. Then continue to watch and to warn the lost. Jesus coming, folks. What you have to do today is not as important as what Jesus wants you to do right now. Draw nine to him, he'll draw nine to you. Thank you once again for letting me come to speak to you this day. I just pray that God will get a hold of each of our hearts. Because there's not a one of us that couldn't do more for him. He's so worthy. How can he love us like he does? Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you.